Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voices that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, their courage, their imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest today is Nikki Lin. Nikki is a certified transformational storytelling life coach. And after years of burying her truth and pain, she discovered writing as an outlet for herself. Through writing, she was not only able to start her healing journey, but able to connect with others on a deeper level. Nikki, welcome to the space. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for creating this space for everybody to come and, you know, tune in and listen and stuff. Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. I'm so happy that you're part of it. I love having these conversations. It's so much fun. So after reading, I wanted to keep the bio nice and short because this is all about talking about it. It's all about having a conversation. So tell us a little bit more about yourself before we dive in, please.
Yeah, of course. So like you mentioned, so I started my healing journey through writing. And it's funny because I've kind of been into writing and drawing like my whole life. I'm not good on the drawing piece, but I enjoy it. And I re-stumbled across the writing piece on accident. I had ankle surgery a few years ago and I was sitting, you know, I couldn't do my activities. And I thought, well, I'll start writing. And when I was writing, I had this weird like feeling to open up a new Instagram page for it. So I opened up an Instagram page like just for my writing and it was well received and, you know, people were reaching out and they're like, I don't know what inspired you to write that. But I really, you know, it touched me. I felt that and stuff. And so that's really where this journey like restarted. But what was unexpected for me was how I felt after, like on as how it kind of kickstarted the healing journey. It was so interesting, but it was like, it was definitely like an accidental thing. But it was really cool.
I think those are the best, right? Because you weren't planning it. I mean, when we get so stuck in our head and it's like, well, it's going to go like this and it's going to go like that and it's going to be perfect. And then you're like, oh man, that didn't work. So, I mean, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I know for me, when I get too stuck in my head and not coming really from my heart, it's totally different.
No, same here. And it was, that was what ended up happening later on is I got too stuck in my head about like having to write on certain days and post on certain days and do these things on certain days. So then it took the enjoyment out of it. Which is why I took a break from it until I kind of found that flow within, you know, writing from the heart and not writing because I felt I had to or not, you know, forcing myself to do it, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also appreciate the fact of you saying that you had an injury. So you were kind of forced to stay still. Yeah. You had certain limitations. But within those so-called limitations, you tapped into this area that you kind of forgot about.
Yeah, exactly. I'd been go, go, go. I'd been in corporate. And then, yeah, I had to have the surgery. It got to a point where it was just no, you know, there was no way around it, which is funny when you think about it, because it's like the human body knows what it needs, you know, and the human mind knows what it needs, and it will do some weird things to make you listen.
It's my brother always says, my body talks, I listen. And sometimes your body has to go to an extreme of, okay, look, you're really not listening. So I'm going to have to do something pretty big in order to get you to stop.
No, exactly. And that's where mine went. Mine was like, okay, we're going to make you sit in bed for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. Oh my gosh. So tell us, before we dive into the questions, tell us a little bit about what corporate part of the corporate world you were in.
Yeah. So I did corporate sales for 8 years. And that's, at that time I was in retail sales, selling like telecommunication stuff. And then afterwards I had actually transitioned into business to business sales, but that's my corporate background is all in sales.
So here you had this. So what was the big turning point? What was it where you were like, I'm turning into a life coach?
That's funny. I had my son, I had my son in late 2019, and you know, I already wasn't that fulfilled in corporate, and I really didn't want to be there. And I was starting to feel burnt out. And then I had my son, and I had a goal to stay home with him. He's a little over a year and a half now, but I had a goal to stay home with him for, you know, at least the first year. I think that's so important if you can do that. And within that first year, I went through so many transformations, like the journey into motherhood and all of that. Mm-hmm. But within that first year, it was really like, it was interesting because it did take me on a journey of like finding myself and reconnecting and, you know, doing all these other things and continuing like the healing journey to not pass on certain traits like down to him and stuff. And so while I was home with him, that's kind of how I got into life coaching. I started doing sales coaching online. That was like the first type of business I wanted to do. And then I had a moment of self-reflection and realized, you know, I was like, Nikki, you've brought everything you knew in corporate over into this online space, but like, who are you? Right. Mm-hmm. So I went on this retreat and I just remember hearing in my head the whole time, like, who are you? Who are you? And after the retreat, it all kind of like, it came full circle. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to help people share their story. I want to help people rewrite their story. You know, I want to help people like, it took me back to my Conquer with Creativity days. And I was like, you know, I want to show people that it is possible to be creative, even if you don't think you're good at it. And really go like start your own healing journey and make it fun and make it enjoyable. So that's how it turned into the whole life coaching thing. It's been a journey.
I love it. And thank you for sharing that. I think it's just so important to show all those steps and acknowledge those pivots that we have. And I know that one way, because I completely relate as well, you know, with the having children part, it really is when you have kids, it just opens your eyes.
It does.
You think about all those things, like you said, things that you want to pass on to him. It's, you know, being a role model. It's even at one point when I think she was like 14 or 15 at the time, my daughter looked at me and she said, do you realize that what you say I'm learning from? She's like, so when you look in the mirror and you're not nice to yourself, what am I saying? I'm like, oh my God.
No, it's powerful. It's true.
You're so right. And I'm so sorry.
And I have to be mindful of stuff like that too. You know, I mean, I don't have a daughter yet. I have a son, but still like, and he, you know, yeah. I've thought about that too, you know, as I talk about myself and look in the mirror, and you might hear him in the background, by the way.
I do. He sounds great. I was like, yay, a baby.
Yeah, he's here. But I was thinking about that too, because I'm like, okay, I need to be mindful of like what I say and the pieces of myself I pick apart, because
you know, he might be sitting here thinking, like, as he gets older, like, well, you know, mom, I look like you. Does that mean it's wrong with me? You see what I mean? And so it's like, I don't want him to pick up insecurities based on my insecurities.
I think that Steph, we're human, and Steph is just inevitable because we're human. But to me, I don't know, personal opinion, I think it's in the conversation. So it's acknowledging things and having conversations about it. So when there's openness, it doesn't have to never be said, and then you hold on to it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
a matter of acknowledging it and being like, yeah, I screwed up. And, you know, I did, and that wasn't right. And I apologize or whatever, you know?
Right.
So, because we're just not perfect human beings. So, okay. So this is going to be a great conversation. So let's start off with our would you rather question.
Yeah.
A little icebreaker. So, Nikki, would you rather ride a flying car or a unicorn?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to have to go with the unicorn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But what's your reason?
You know, I've been feeling really magical these days, and I just think that that's like the type of like outlet that I would need is to ride the unicorn, and I would want to like hold on to the horn. Like I can envision this whole thing. I would want to hold on to the horn and let the unicorn take me somewhere. Having to worry about driving the car, like I don't want to be in control for that moment.
Ah, love that. Do not have to be in control. Grab the horn and just go.
Exactly.
Go, go, go. Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so this will be good. So first question is, how do you define creativity?
So for me, defining creativity is just, it's really going to be anything that lets you self-express and release at the same time, right? And it doesn't even always have to be about releasing, but mainly self-expression. Like the way you dress can be creative. The way you draw can be creative. The way that, you know, the way that you write, the way you color your hair, like all of these things are different ways of creativity. Mm-hmm.
So basically how you show up.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. For example, my sister just dyed her hair blue, right? And that's her way of being creative right now. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, how you show up and how you like, how you kind of present yourself and, you know, what's like, what's your style? What are you into? Like, how do you self-express? That's creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. When I was teaching in the school system, I would on the front part, I have a longer piece of hair to the right side, and I would get this piece colored. So I would switch off colors. I had it blue, I had it purple. And one time I went for like this fire engine red, and I was like, this is like totally out of my comfort zone. But yeah, this will be fun. So when I was at school, we hold the door in the morning for the kids when they come in. And one of the girls, I think she was in third or fourth grade, she just stopped and looked at me. I'm like, good morning. And she just shook her. She was silent. And then she kind of shook her head and she just went, why? And I said, because I can. Do you like it? Makes me happy. And she just shook her head and she continued walking up the steps.
Kids are so honest sometimes. Why? Gotta love them.
But still, I could just see her face. She was just totally deadpan, absolutely no emotion.
When I worked in corporate, and you think that's funny? When I worked in corporate, I had bright red hair all over, right? And I have a lot of tattoos. And so I remember, you know, but it was, I worked with older people where some of them were tattoos are still kind of like taboo to them. And I remember a lot of those whys, like why? And, you know, and I'd always answer the same. I'd be like, oh, like it's creative. It's expressive, you know, and they're just kind of looking like, okay, you kind of look, you know, you look a little crazy, but
But I think actually, like, those are really good points. It's like the contrast of setting up these conversations. So it's not this confrontational why.
Right.
Actually, it's kind of like, well, why did you choose to do that? In this situation, I wasn't going far with this girl because she just had nothing to say. Like, she just had, but you know, I just thought of when you said your tattoos, our son has like a whole sleeve. And for his tattoos are very intentional. They really tell a story. Like each one literally tells a story. So if you were to ask him about it, it's not just some random thing of, oh, I like SpongeBob, but it's telling a whole thing behind it. So I think those conversations are really, they're important.
That's true, and they are fun stories to tell because majority of mine have a meaning. And the funny part is, it's like now, you know, some of these tattoos are 10 years old, so the meaning that they held then, it's more like it's almost like a memory, if you will. So when people ask, I'll say, well, when I was 18 and I got this one, this was the meaning behind it. This is what, you know, I was going through. You know, when I was 22 and I got this one, this is the meaning behind it. This is what I was going through. So they all do. And then there's, you know, they all, same here, they all do tell a story. But then there's other ones too where there's really no story behind it and I just like it. Or there's a deeper meaning that will probably go with me, you know, for the rest of my life and will always like hold true to those meanings.
Yeah. God, we could have a whole conversation about tattoos.
We could.
We could, like that's, yeah. I mean, that could really, the last thing I'll say on that for now, and if you want to add anything, you can, but I did a lesson with kids on tattoos and the history and them picking five tattoos. We created plaster casts of their hands and then they painted them and then put symbols, representations that were like tattoos to represent them. And it just always, every time I did it, it just blew me away to see what they came up with because it's the perspectives and experiences and stories are just, you know, so varied, similarities, but so varied.
Right. I love that. That's an exercise I want to do when my son gets older. But yeah, I mean, there's my t there's a, you know, when you said similarities and stuff, there's people my age who definitely have similar tattoos and, you know, same artists, and you ask them and it's a whole, like, either a whole different story or a whole parallel story to it, which I've heard
Yeah.
before.
That's really, really nice. Yeah. Yeah, because we do. We have, it's like that whole thing is if you're with two people and you're both witnessing the same thing, but you're going to get something different from it. If you hear somebody, if you say, okay, tell me what you think happened, there'll be similarities, but there's going to be differences because it's a different lens.
No, exactly. What is that one song? It says like we walk the same path but have on different shoes. I always love that quote.
Yeah,
So true.
so powerful. So, you know what? When also, when I was looking through your site, one thing that also stood out to me was a quote where you said, "Stop hiding your truth, stop hiding behind the person who you think you should be." If you could talk about that a little bit more, I think there's so much power in that.
Yeah, I would love to. So I believe and I know from my own experience that everybody, you know, there's like the person that you are, and somewhere along the way, being the person that you are, maybe it's as a child, maybe it's later into adulthood, maybe it started as a child and goes into adulthood, but somewhere along the way, you either like get made fun of for being yourself, you kind of, someone pokes fun at something you enjoy, you know, something happens to where you feel you have to hide that piece, right? And then you get older and it's, you know, grow up and get a job. And as you get a job, you go into, you know, you go into this corporate world or this professional role, and again, for this, you know, for the sake of the job, you have to kind of also hide pieces of yourself and put on, you know, you put on your company hat. And then if you have people you can't be yourself around or people who are, want you to meet certain expectations, then you put on the expectation hat and stuff. And so that quote came to me because we're so conditioned. Shh,
we're so conditioned to do different things and to conform to different things and, you know, to be a certain way in certain settings that along the way, I feel like we kind of lose, like, who was I? Who am I, right? And so that's why I made that quote, because it's like, well, what is your truth? What are you hiding? What don't you share with the world? What are you afraid to speak up about? What are you afraid to tell others about? And, you know, I can even give an example, right? Mm-hmm. So I used to do these things, like talking like the way we are and stuff. And I, after I had my son, I would panic like, oh, you know, I need to find somebody to watch him so I can go talk, right? And then I realized, well, that's hiding a piece of my truth. Like, my truth is I'm home with him and he's always in the background. You know what I mean? And so that was like one small piece. And then there's, you know, the other piece of hiding, like, we tend to hide, like, our pain and our hurt a lot. And I feel like we do that because there's shame around it and there's guilt around it. And we're not really conditioned to talk about these things. But through talking about it, through expressing them, you not only heal from it, but you help somebody else, because everybody has something that they go through that, you know, that they don't share that probably should be shared. And so that's really where I kind of came up with that idea, because that's part of speaking your truth is, you know, just no longer hiding, using your story for good, using your story to help the world, using your story to empower others and to really, you know, make other people feel less alone.
Oh, I like that. Feel less alone. Because that's kind of why we do it, right? I mean, not why we do it. You know, like all the reasons you said, we hide ourselves because of all these things we're shameful about. But all these other people have gone through similar things or maybe feeling similarities. But we're feeling alone because we're acting like something else. We're putting up this front. We're putting up this facade. But where if we spoke about it and if we expressed it, then we'd actually be a community expressing and sharing.
Exactly. And that's when I started sharing my writing, that's what I found, because I was so scared to put some of those out there. I was like, oh my God, what are the people going to think? Right. But then I was like, well, what does it matter? Like, this is my truth. And that's what I found, was it did create a community aspect with people I had known for years, right? They were coming forward with similar situations that had happened to them that I never even knew about. And I'm like, wow, I've known you for over a decade and I didn't know this piece of your truth, or I didn't know that piece of your truth. So I think that's so important when it comes to building, you know, building a community and building like trust and relationships with people, is to really just, you know, learn how to be yourself. And it's hard at first. And I know that firsthand too, because there are people sometimes who are close to you who do feel like, well, what are you doing? Why would you do that? You know what I mean? And it does bring up an old wound of maybe, you know, something you heard when you were a child or something like that. And so you kind of shrink and hide again until you start healing that.
Right. Right. It makes us feel vulnerable because we're actually showing ourselves. And we're not, you know, hiding behind anything. I can't remember her name right now. It's completely jumping out of my head. But you just made me think of, she's very famous. But anyway, basically the gist of what I was thinking about was she, you know, on Facebook when it says tell 25 things about yourself. And she answered them. But some of her answers were like recovering alcoholic, you know, all this kind of stuff. And she just filled them out and sent. And she came back and there was like 7 messages from her sister on her voicemail. And she's like, uh-oh, what did I do? What did I do wrong? She's like, that's always a sign that I screwed up. And she's like, what did you share? Like, what did you put out on Facebook? Like, so anyway, what she found was after that, she had all of these people that DM'd her and were saying, me too. How long has that been going on for you? It was all these people that she'd known forever, but nobody was actually sharing real aspects about themselves. And this created a safe space.
I know. I love that. And it's such a good feeling when that happens. And you know, and it's always a close friend or family member first to go, what are you doing? Why would you do that? But why would you say that? But there is so much power in it. I remember one time. So I used to use drugs, right? I'm six and a half years sober from that. Mm-hmm. And I remember sharing, I never celebrated, right? I never really counted my sobriety because I didn't get so, I didn't feel I got so far deep in that time, right? So I didn't feel I deserved a celebration. I didn't feel I deserved to, you know, celebrate being sober from that because I knew people who had it worse. And that's always kind of been the story I fed myself was you don't deserve to celebrate because you know people who have it worse, or you don't deserve to complain because you know people who have it worse. And so this year, actually, 2021 was the first year that January I made a post about it. And, you know, and I was so vulnerable. And I mentioned, like I'm telling you, I mentioned how, you know, I'm six years sober, how I've never allowed myself to celebrate. I don't even know the exact date. I just know the month. And I told the story of the last time that I ever used. And same, like the woman that, you know, it was the same thing. People were reaching out and they were like, oh my God, I feel the same way. You know, I had a year where I was doing drugs and I never actually celebrated sobriety because I didn't think I deserved it. You know, I'm sober, but I, you know, I don't feel worthy because I've done bad. Like all kinds of people who were like, I relate so deeply to your message. You know, thank you for sharing. And again, it was just reaffirming more that people do have crap in their lives that they're not feeling comfortable to discuss yet.
Yeah.
And I want to change that narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate, thank you for sharing and that being vulnerable with that. And I think what's important, what I got from what you said is that you do not feel to deserve to be celebrated. And I think that is such a big thing to kind of underline, because I think we don't, it's like those, even like the little moments, but that's a big moment. But we're always comparing ourselves to other people and, oh, well, like you said, other people have it harder and why should I even celebrate that? And, oh my God, we keep ourselves so small and don't even acknowledge ourselves and allow ourselves to grow and give ourselves a pat on the back.
No, exactly. There's no like, yeah, there's never a moment to take a step back and like try to look at yourself through the eyes of somebody else. Cause we're so like, we're harder on ourselves than anybody else is going to be. And I'm sure that's true for everyone, but you know, it's like there, you do deserve to be celebrated no matter how big or small it may seem to someone. Like you do deserve to be celebrated, but you know, most importantly too, like whatever you've gone through, whatever you've been through, like it's all valid. I did this signature speech one time. I haven't spoken it yet, but it's written. I'm gonna speak it. But, mm-hmm. You know, and I called it, your trauma is valid because there's no one layer of hardship. There's no one layer of trauma. There's no, you know, and on the opposite end of that, that's like you're like this creative conversation that we're having. There's no one level of creativity, right? There's levels to all of it. And, you know, I truly believe that all levels are valid. All levels deserve to be spoken about. All levels deserve to be, you know, met with either empathy or met with praise or, you know, something like that. Like, but every single thing is valid.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking in a professional development, you know, I asked the question, you know, who was ever told that they weren't creative or, you hear stories on that. But then I was working with clay specifically at the time for this workshop. And I said, has anybody had a bad experience with the material? And this guy who was in his 30s or 40s raised his hand and he vehemently, as if he was back in middle school, said, when I was in middle school, I took ceramics and every piece of mine blew up. Every piece blew up. Nobody else's did. So I don't like working with clay. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, I said, I hear you and I understand. And we're going to make this experience hopefully different for you. And anyway, he created his piece. I took it back to my studio. I said multiple prayers over the kiln since it has to go in twice. I was just like, please do not blow up. Please do not blow up. And it didn't. And thank God I was able to return it to him in one piece. But that to him was a trauma that right. he carried all of his time. So one might think that that's a small thing, but I see that as a trauma. Whereas then there are other things where people on the scale of things would be like, well, I was abused, or, you know, whatever scenario they'd see is worse. But sometimes they can be equally as, it's the way people carry them.
No, exactly. There's really no one size fits all to that. You know, that, like you said, it's the way people carry them and the way people hold on to them and perceive them. I remember, I remember a time when my mom wasn't around, right? And it was, you know, it happened for a few years. And so I was raised by a single dad, but I knew I had friends whose parents were either in a different state or had passed away and stuff. So I remember the same thing, thinking like, well, I don't have a right to be sad about it because somebody else has it worse. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But looking back, but that was valid for me, but I invalidated it again by comparing myself to other people and what other people were going through.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the important word, and it is valid. Yeah, I like that you point that out. That's a very good word to apply to it. Validity.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge the people that are here live. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you have any questions or comments during the conversation, please feel free to put them in the chat box where we can see them. So we are having a conversation about creativity and all of the of what it means. And we're leading into our second question, which is, Nikki, how do you incorporate creativity into your life?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. So, the way, and it's like a, what's it called? A self-accountability question, actually. So the way I incorporate it into my life is, well, like I said, self-expression, definitely, like in the way, you know, that I dress and the things that I'm into and things like that. But really, like, my biggest way to do creativity is through writing. And I've recently gotten certified in art therapy. And so I hosted my first workshop around it. And that was like, that's one of the ways, you know, that I've incorporated into my life. But that, and then that, people were able to join for free. And we just had this whole like art therapy session. So really writing and drawing, and even my exercises get creative, my physical exercises. So those are ways that I try to keep it into my daily life. Yeah, I would say those are the main ways.
Yeah. So when you say your physical exercise, getting mm-hmm. creative with that, what do you mean by that?
So workouts can be boring, right? So mm-hmm. I have ways to make it fun, whether, cause I try to move every day. And so, you know, sometimes the creativeness is going for a walk. Sometimes I try to get creative and do exercise, like with my son, who's, you know, a year and a half. And so sometimes it just, you know, it looks like chasing him throughout the house, you know, running around on purpose. But then, like, my nutrition coach is actually, she's really good with creative exercises. She'll send me things. She sends these things called, and people might have heard of this, it might just be new to me, but they're called like star jumps, and they're reverse jumping jacks. And
I haven't heard of that. Uh-huh.
They like, and you look like you like kind of like crouch in, and then you like jump out and you put your arms and legs out like a star. And they're so challenging. But I told her, I said, well, how did you come up with this? And someone had passed it on to her, but she had said like people were getting bored with their workouts. And so they needed something that was like high intensity. And so they created these star jumps. So I just thought that was really cool, because that was like another like creative way to keep moving and stuff. So yeah, so those are some of the ways I get creative in my exercises is, you know, just trying to incorporate like a different type of movement that's new to me.
And, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. You know, it's a friend of mine, she does hula hooping. And she is just like an amazing hula hooper. Like, she's done competitions and she has the cool light up ones and has it like go on her arms and her legs and all this kind of stuff. But I bought like a weighted hula hoop and it's just been so fun. I sit it in the living room and just hula hoop. And I hadn't done that since I was a kid. You know, it's like bringing those playful aspects back in.
Yeah, exactly. I have, I love that. My stepdaughter got a hula hoop. I didn't try it, but I should. But it did. It looks like so much fun. And it's really good for the waistline. But
it is from what I honestly haven't done it enough. But, and it's also really good for belly laughing, because as the family picks it up and does it, to watch my husband, my son, and my daughter do it, it's hysterical.
Just try to do some hula hooping. You know, I love that. I have some roller skates. And I haven't done that in so long. And same thing though, it brings that that childlike energy, you know, back to you.
Right, right. Oh, did he fall?
No, he wants his water, and he's just being a little impatient.
Like, Mom, come on, you hear me?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The whole roller skating thing, it does. It brings, and even skateboarding.
Yes, exactly. Anything like that, that's an exercise we used to do as kids. It's so fun because it does. It brings that childlike energy back. I went to the beach the other day, actually, and it's cold, right, at the beach, and the 5-year-old wanted to play in the water, so I took her, and you know, and I didn't want to go because it was cold, and so I take her. I apologize for him.
It's okay.
So I take her in, and you know, we're playing in the waves and just having fun, and it's like I had forgotten how cold it was as I'm playing in there. And also I realized I needed to run more, but I'd forgotten how cold it was as I'm playing in these waves. And like, you know, and I'm sitting here, like, we get there and I'm being the adult, like, okay, don't get these clothes wet. Only, you know, you have these to get wet and stuff. By the end of it all, like, her clothes were soaked, my clothes were soaked, but it was so much fun to just, you know, be free and not worry about, like, I don't know where as adults we start to worry about all these little things that didn't matter once upon a time. But it was just so much fun to have, like, that kid-like energy and, you know, like there was just no care in the world. And we're kicking water and, like I said, forgot how cold it was. And we were just having so much fun. And it was, you know, it was a form of exercise for me, at least, to, you know, run around chasing a 5-year-old.
Yeah, definitely. It's movement, and it's, you're not thinking about it like, okay, I have an hour's class that I need to go to. You're actually engaged in life with another person, like having fun and having an experience. And I think you're so right. It sounds corny, but it's the whole thing of being free and just playing, because that is so much of what I'm about also, and with my company. It's about connecting with those aspects of yourself where you're playing, because we get into this whole adulting thing. Right. So because of the whole adulting thing, it's like, well, I have to pay the mortgage and I have to pay the electric bill and I have this responsibility and that responsibility. And meanwhile, our shoulders are touching our ears. Like, we're just so, like, we're so tight.
Yes.
Because of everything. And, you know, I do this as well, but then it's like getting into that mindset of like, okay, let me take some time instead of this whole busyness. And let me take, if it needs to be baby steps, 10 minutes to do something that makes me happy, like go to the beach and splash in the water. And then, it's that 10 minutes is going to turn into an hour, because we'll give ourselves permission then.
Yeah, once we remember how fun it is and we're not in the mode of thinking about it, but in the mode of actually like doing and enjoying, yeah, then like you said, 10 minutes turns into an hour. And next thing you know, like your shoulders aren't at your ears anymore. Thank you for that visual, by the way.
Because I find myself doing that too. And when I've done workshops, I'm like, so if you're holding something really tight or if your shoulders are creeping their way up, just breathe. And I've had people say, thank you for saying that, because it was. And we do that because we're human.
No, exactly, exactly. Even like for me, my son loves to roll the ball around and throw the ball around. And so I make it a point every day for, you know, sometime in the day to get down on the floor with him. And we just sit and, you know, for whatever reason, he has, that's when he has the longest attention span, is when we're sitting on the ground in our living room and we're just rolling this ball back and forth. But me, it's like, I forget about all the things that need to be done. And he just has the time of his life laughing and giggling and, you know, running around, catching the ball and stuff. And it's just, like I said, it's just the little things like that.
It's almost meditative, though. I don't know. I feel of the motion of the back and forth of the, you know, what's kind of expected. It's going to go to him, to you, to him, to you.
Right.
And there's a meditative aspect to it.
There definitely is. And I like that you said, I hadn't found the word for it. I like that you said meditative, because I'm definitely going to like think of that next time we're rolling the ball. Oh, he went to go get it right now.
I heard him saying, was he saying ball?
Yeah.
Ball? He's like, okay, cool, Mom. We're going to roll the ball. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about writing a little bit more before we move on. So with the writing, I know you do journal prompts and let me get my brain together. Sorry. Have you always, when you were younger, like, was this an outlet for you also, or was this something that was discovered later on?
No, it was definitely an outlet when I was younger. So when I was younger, I wanted to be a singer and I wanted to write my own songs. Then I realized I only had one of those talents, not both. So but it was always an outlet for me to, you know, I always loved music. And so since I want to say, because I had some songs written in like my childlike handwriting. So I want to say since I learned how to read and write, I started writing. And I started with writing lyrics, and then I always was obsessed with rhyming words. And so I would write lyrics. And then when I got older, that's when I kind of like realized that poetry was a thing. So that's what started all this, is I started writing poetry. And when I finally started sharing it, what I was sharing were poems. And I have an uncle actually who's a musician, and some of the poems, you know, he's always like, have you ever thought about turning this into a song or that into a song? Writing's always been, it's always been an outlet. And looking back, I realize when I'm not writing or when I wasn't writing, it's kind of like when I was going through a chaos, right? And I, you know, and instead of looking at the outlet for what it was, I started looking for external outlets. But really, you know, that's really the biggest outlet I needed, to write it out.
Yeah, that is such an important point, is to realize what your talents are, to realize what your outlets are, and notice those kind of the ups and downs, because when you're going through stuff, it's true. You're not actually doing your outlet. You're not allowing yourself to do that. And this, you're kind of, when you're going through the chaos is when you need it most, but we tend to get more distracted because of the chaos.
Exactly. And we'll make up all these excuses as to why we don't need to do the one thing that we need to do. Right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's, I don't have time. Who has time to sit and do that? That needs to go on the back burner. That's just a hot, you know what I mean? When it's like,
Yeah.
If you take yourself out of it, you're like, no, that's what you need to do to feel better.
Right. That's like everything. Oh my gosh. It makes me crazy when people are like, oh, creativity. Oh, well, it's like a crafty thing. That's so cute. I'm like, oh my God, if you're going to get under my skin and use that word cute for that's why I came up with a quote, you know, creativity is not cute. It's necessary.
Right. Oh, I love that.
It's everything that we are.
It's
our being. So it's not something that we can just push off and not have time for.
Well, and think about it on the bigger spectrum. Like, we were created, you know, whatever you believe in, we were created by something, whatever you believe in, even if it's science, like, you know, we were created. Like, creativity is at the core of us.
Yeah. We're creators.
Exactly.
We were created and we're creators. Like, the definition of creativity is the formation of an idea or an object in its simplicity when you look it up.
Right.
So we're doing that all the time. We're coming up with ideas. We're, creating meals. We're creating, like you said, exercise routines. We're parenting. We're the way we form our words. Everything.
Yeah, no, everything. I love that. We are creators and we were created.
There we go. I'm going to write it down. Creators and created. I have to write this stuff because otherwise I'll be like, what did I say? What did I do?
I know. What was that gold I had?
Where is that? So as we're approaching the top of the hour, we are going to wrap it up with the third question, which is stuff we've touched on, but it's kind of putting it a little bow on it and asking, so why is creativity important to you?
Oh, man. Okay, let me look at the time. You know, creativity it's so important to me because I see the power in it and I see the power that it has. And I know that it can do such good things for people to allow their life to be creative. And, you know, when you think of it on the bigger picture and just from what we just said, like we were created and we are creators. That's going to stick with me forever, by the way. But it's like, it's supposed to be at the core of what we do. No matter who you are and what you're into, you know what I mean? Any type of role that you have in the world, creativity is at the center of it. Creativity belongs to you. Even if you are, if you're a chef, you're creating drinks, even in sales, when I was a person, like, I had to create new and exciting ways to try to talk to people, right? Like, it's just,
The sound is getting a little weird, by the way.
Oh,
it's a little in and out.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's better. That's okay. Better. Yeah.
It's just like we said. It's at the core of everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me step away because he is going to play with his loud toy.
All of a sudden, sounds are going to go up.
Yes.
So the core of everything that we do. So listeners, take into consideration, like, what is that thing? What is at your core? And you don't necessarily have to dig that deep. It's that feeling. I don't know. And tell me what you think about this. It's like when I'm explaining to a student, they're like, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure if it's the right thing. And it's that feeling in your stomach that you get, like that butterfly feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's like when you get that butterfly feeling, that's one way. There's multiple ways of knowing if it feels right. But that feeling is just kind of like, yeah, that either is the right, like immediately it's a download of, yep, that's it. That's the core. That's what's, you know, inspiring me. Or it could be that kind of fear where it's kind of like, it kind of scares me. But when it scares you, that's the thing you should be doing.
Right. It's funny how that works.
Kind of scares the heck out of me, but yeah, that's the challenge I need in order to break through this, my comfort zone.
No, exactly. And the stomach is so powerful at telling you yes or no, or yes and yes, I should say. But it is, it's like that. I go back to that moment of like, you know, for me personally, it was like that moment of like, well, who am I? Right. And, you know, all of a sudden, like everything I felt, it's funny you say stomach, because everything I felt was in my stomach, and it was like these butterfly feelings, as I'm kind of like, you know, re-going through everything that I've been through and what I want to do and things like that, and how creativity came into play with that. And, you know, everything just came full circle that creativity has been at the root of everything that I've done, and has also been at the root of whenever I wasn't feeling creative or something like that. It's when it goes back to that headspace. It's when I'm in my head too much about it, or when I'm overthinking it or something like that. Instead of just being and allowing things to flow and allowing things to come to me.
Yeah. Yeah. The overthinking aspect is a killer, isn't it?
It is.
It's just a buzzkill.
It really is. Anything can kill a creative spark. It's overthinking it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually when I get my ideas on the night owl, and my husband goes to bed earlier because he wakes up at like 3:30 in the morning. So if I'm going to bed at like 11 midnight and I'm like, Arthur, I have an idea. I've been thinking. He's just like, oh God. She's been thinking.
Oh, you're not alone there. I just have that same reaction when I tell them I've been thinking. I'm like, oh, I've been thinking about something. And they're like, what?
Because you're going to hear a bunch of different versions of the way it could go. Yeah,
exactly. I'm a night owl too, so it is. It's always like midnight for me. And I was like, oh, I have an idea. I'm thinking. And they're like, oh, God. I was like, what now?
Oh, that's so funny. The creative brain. We have to express it.
Exactly. Otherwise we go crazy.
I'm learning to actually speak it into my phone or something. So I have a recording so I don't have to bother other people. But now I'm having older kids. Now I can really talk to them about it because they're awake with me generally at that time of night. So
I know. I'm such a talk it out person too. I mean, I write it out when I think of it and I don't have anybody to tell. I'll just like write it out real quick. Or like my creative social posts will come to me at like midnight and I'm like, well, I'm not going to do this now, but this will be good tomorrow. And I'll write it all out. But right. I like the voice note for the talking aspect because I am a talk it out person and I do need to like vocalize so that I know it makes sense.
Well, I think it's really important to understand what kind of learner and expressor that you are too. Because some people are, you know, are more auditory. Some people are more verbal. Some people it's writing. Some people it's, you know, visual. It's just, you know, everybody's different. And I've met some really cool, like, have you ever heard of synesthesia?
Mm-mm, I have not.
So interesting. And it's come up a lot in my world lately, hearing about it. And I had somebody on a podcast recently who has it. Basically, it's a combination of sensory inputs. So it can show up for people in different ways. This particular person that I spoke to is a musician, and she hears music. The notes are translated in colors and textures.
Oh, how cool is that?
In her mind. Mm-hmm. So for the longest time, but it's good and it has its drawbacks because she could like a certain kind of music, but if the colors that it resonate with her that she doesn't like, then she doesn't like the song because she keeps seeing the color. but she kind of likes the sound, but she's like, if she doesn't like green and she keeps seeing green, she's like, I don't like it because I keep seeing that.
Right, that color.
But it's just really interesting because for the longest time she had difficulty in school situations where they were like, this is how something looks and this is how you have to regurgitate the information, like in music school. But mm-hmm. in this particular case, like other people could say something was a B flat, but she couldn't just say it was a B flat because it was a color and then the other notes merged with that. So it turned into something else. It wasn't just a B flat, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. That's really interesting. Yeah, I had never heard of the name for it. I've heard of people saying they can see colors when people talk. Mm-hmm. Voice has a color, but yeah. I never, that's so interesting to me. I never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it has, like, you can actually see the rhythm and see the textures to it. Just so, yeah. So you just, it's just so cool to understand how people think and how people learn and how people express themselves.
Yes, because there's no, at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong to do it. You know, it's just whatever feels good to you, that, you know, that's creative and fun. Like, that's your style of creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Nikki, can you please let people know how they can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Instagram. My username is at Miss M-I-S and then Nikki Lynn, N-I-K-K-I-L-Y-N-N. I'm more active on Facebook, which says Nikki Lynn Coach. If you just go facebook.com/Nikki Lynn Coach, you should find my profile right there. And then neither one of those work. My website is NikkiLynn.com, N-I-K-K-I-L-Y-N-N.com. That one, you can reach out to me through email. It has all of the social links on there. There is my newsletter. You can download 100 free journal prompts. If you sign up, you can get the 100 free prompts if you want to get started in your writing journey, or you already are writing and some days you're not sure what to write about. Yeah, I put together 100 prompts for free for you. So definitely you can grab that, and that will put you right onto my newsletter, and we can always connect there as well.
That's amazing. So I so appreciate you taking this hour to sit here and chat with me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been fun. I absolutely have loved this conversation. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about the conversation, and I appreciate it. And actually, before you go, what kind of final words of wisdom would you like to leave people with?
You know, the biggest thing is, don't hide. And when I say don't hide, I mean, if you've been wanting to find ways to be creative and you're worried that you're not good at it, or you're worried that, I've heard people say, well, I'm not a creative person. Like, don't feed yourself that narrative, because we're all creative in some way. So my word to you is just go out there and do what feels good. If it feels good to dance, creativity through dancing, if it feels good to write, to sing, you know, to draw, any of that, just get started somewhere and don't think about it. Just do it in private, let it take over and see what comes up for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, always be creative.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Similar messages. And yeah, don't get in the way. Don't think too much. Don't be with your heart, not with your head.
Yes, absolutely.
Gosh. So everybody, this space is all about inspiring, sharing stories, and connecting. So please like, follow, and share. And on all the places that you listen, this is available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all those spaces. Please review, like, all that, because, you know, it boosts the analytics and it can get more seen, because we need to be there for each other. We need to share these stories. It's so important for us in any time, but this time especially. Such transition going on, transformation. So we wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to speaking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.